Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
If you want to be my friend, you better go get a pen. Maybe we can keep in touch like I did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
I don't have enough to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guests today, because we always forget to introduce them, since you can see them on Friday and you already heard them.
You saw your phone description.
As you clicked this episode, you already saw his name.
Maybe you saw
Andy
our promotion.
Richter
Val
is here.
Kilmer.
Val Kilmer Richter is with
you
us
do get
today.
That. You do get that a lot.
Thank you, yes.
How are you, Andy Richter? Thanks
for
being
here. How are you?
I'm great, my man.
Good, good.
I'm in a bad place, but let's not talk about it.
You don't care.
I know.
Don't
no one
care.
Asked.
That's what's one of the best things about being your friend is the lack of concern that you need.
And I don't want people to care.
It's natural. You just stop caring about like what's
that's
Rory
the vibe
up
I put
to.
Out there. I'll be like, "Rory, are you okay?" And like no one asks that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, "I'm you? Fine."
Oh, blood, huh?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm still breathing.
You two just got done playing in a golf tournament.
We did.
That's correct.
You won.
That's right,
Rory. You are my main.
Squeeze.
Purview. You are my main squeeze. My main purview into like
the golf world.
And the LA scene.
Yeah.
Is it wrong for me to assume, of course, you won?
No. Yeah, it is wrong to
Come
assume
on.
That. But I got to say, we have a very.
Was anyone playing who plays as much as you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there were some ringers, definitely.
There's
but
some ringers.
Walsh.
There's some groups. I would say
not
there
Matt
were 12
Walsh.
Total groups.
No. Matt's fine.
He's okay.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
12 total groups. I would say there's probably 5 groups that show up. Really wanting to like put out the effort and try to win.
You're one.
And
then
I'd say there's a lot of groups who maybe have someone in it who really wants to win, but you sort of get thrown together and you don't go.
You didn't know your team going into
overall.
It?
It's people
they
just
did.
Having fun.
They
you
did.
Had to
yeah.
know your team.
Yeah. Well, you can put your team together.
Okay. They had kind of an ideal situation.
I got invited by Owen Burke forever ago. So I've just always played with Owen, and John Sachs was on our team. And so we had Jay Larson this year.
Because you haven't played since 2019. The tournament hasn't happened since 2019.
2020. Right. No, 2020.
No, 2020.
February of 2020.
Right
before Omicron.
Right before
COVID in general.
Okay.
COVID in general. I don't want to give my novel title away, but I'm working on something called COVID in general.
Did you win that time?
Not a good title.
What's up? Did you win in 2020?
We won the very first year I did it. We won it the
I
very
thought
first year.
You would
but,
win.
But the first year that we won it, we won it by, I think, one stroke at the end. And this year, we won it by a playoff
a
on the 18th hole, a tiebreaker. So
it's very exciting.
There's no, like, gimmies of it. And this course was just beautiful, though. Honestly, even at the end of the day, if we didn't win, it's just so much fun. You get to, like, see, especially after 2 years, or not getting to play last year, you get to just see your friends again, and you're drinking, and you're hanging out, and, like, if you win, you win. If you don't, like, had we lost on the 18th hole playoff, I'd have been like, I wanted to win, but how fun was this that everybody's on the green hanging out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
Cut
were
to the
first
wordless
group
drive home with him and Jay.
Just mad. Yeah. We lost.
Fuming steam. They keep having to wipe off the windshield because the steam.
Especially with those two. They get very competitive.
Everyone the night before was talking about, like, we're going to win, we're going to win. I'm like, what the? I'm not going to fucking win. What do I care?
Right. You know, it's but that's the way to approach it. That's when it's way more fun. That's why I like best ball, because I'm like, I'm going to hit some bad shots, and luckily that will not be the ball we're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah, it's so funny, too, because it's mostly Walsh family.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, so I played with Walsh cousins, like Matt's cousin and his son. And his son was like a former NFL player, this giant guy. But this guy, Bill. And so I got to hear a Chicago accent all day long.
That's right.
Oh my God. And it's like a warm, cozy blanket for me.
And that dude was smiling nonstop.
Take a vocal hand on your shoulder.
Yeah, that's right. But it's even the son, who, like I say, played for the NFL for a couple of years and now is finishing up USC med school, was making fun of his dad's accent. Like his dad's like, I think I'm up by the bunker there. And he goes like, oh, the bunker there, huh, Dad? And I was like, but for the grace of God, go you. You'd be talking like that if you hadn't left town.
If you hadn't left town to go play professional football.
I know. This accent is your legacy, motherfucker.
God forbid you go be a doctor and make fun of your dad the rest of his life.
I'm a neurosurgeon. Like, I played in the NFL. Yeah.
Well, you and Walsh are the only reasons I ever want to learn, because he keeps telling me, did you learn how to play golf yet?
Dude.
Then I go, no, and then you wanted to, I could hang out with you more.
You could come out and hang out and play. If there's any proof in the world, Andy is the proof. You don't have to know how to play to enjoy a good round of golf. Yeah, but right, Andy?
Don't touch me.
Right, Andy? Right, no, my friend?
I'm perfectly fine.
You maybe know this or you don't, but unbeknownst to you possibly, behind your back, people are like, Andy's the funniest guy to golf with, and this is what they'd say. I go, yeah. I was like, he's so zen. And this is where I'll never get to, and it angers me. But Andy will just sometimes go, I'm not going to play the next three holes. And I wish I had that kind of emotional control.
A lot of times I'll like hit it three times shitty, and I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to wait till the next one. People will be like, did you finish? I'm like, no, I picked up.
I watch the pure bliss. I look at him like, God, I wish I could escape these handcuffs of like needing to finish the hole
and having to play them all. You're chasing
78, and that's the my other novel. So I got the two novels, COVID in general and Chasing 78.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's true, though. You are.
I'm going to get them both on Audible.
I'm going to send them to you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You have to write the thing that goes on the back pamphlet.
Oh, a blurb.
Ooh, you want a blurb?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to need a blurb.
Oh.
And feel free to not read
them.
You
know what I'm going to say right now? I've blurbed plenty of books.
I was going to ask
plenty
you.
Plenty of books. I've burbed a lot of books. And I think I maybe read one.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, yeah. And even then, it might have been a very cursory sort of
fashion. You can usually tell in a blurb.
You get the gist. You know, I like look through and then I kind of like think like,
or just
what's going to sell this book? What kind of smoke blowing up the author's ass will be the most pleasant for them?
This is it every time. A triumph, Andy Richter.
Sure.
Well, you
a journey. In a journey of discovery.
A journey worth taking, Andy Richter.
If it's more about the person than the book, you can usually tell in the blurb. I just, when this drops, Odenkirk's book will be out. Comedy, drama.
Yeah.
And obviously David Cross blurbed it. And he goes, Dave Odenkirk. And then in parentheses, he wrote spelling, ? And then he says all these nice things. And at the very end, he goes, and one day I hope to meet him. And I'm like, that's a great blurb.
Yeah, of course.
Fucking David Cross.
Right.
All right. Rory, you want to go?
Let's go to the letters.
Yay.
Just fly these in professionally.
Look at that.
Look at that. These are letters.
Wow. I wish I could read.
Don't worry. We'll do it for you.
Yeah, we'll read it. We'll read it.
What friends are for?
Here we go.
You're going to go first?
I'm going to go first.
Okay, go on.
Dear Rory and Daniel.
Ugh.
That's the right order right there. I'm sorry, Daniel. It hurt to do that.
It's not even alphabetical.
It doesn't have to be.
But they apologized because they knew they were wrong.
Right. I simply was aware of Rory first, but have since grown to love your work too. I am a longtime Penny on a never-ending quest to be a Paller. Paller is someone who's listened to every episode.
Pallers are also the best people.
I am a British man in my late 20s, living happily in NYC with my American wife for the past 7 years. I am from a town in the UK called Hartlepool. But when people ask where I am from, I just say Newcastle because nobody here knows what that is. There's an old legend about my town that goes like this. During the Napoleonic Wars in the early 1800s, a French ship was wrecked just off the coast. The only survivor was the ship's monkey, an ape dressed in military uniform, presumably to entertain the crew at sea. Now the Hartlepool townsfolk had never seen a monkey before, and upon finding him in the wreckage, believed this creature to be a French spy. The locals proceeded to go F2F with the ape and put him on trial, being unable to answer any of the questions put to him because he was a fucking monkey, was found guilty and hanged in the town square for being an enemy spy. Rather than being embarrassed of this legend, the majority truly embrace it. Our town's football team mascot is a monkey called Hangus, and the man inside the suit was elected mayor, not once, but three times in the early 2000s, running on a truly bipartisan platform of giving free bananas to all school children. Okay. Seriously, look it up. So my question to you both is, do your hometowns have any crazy legends or stories? Or as two chaps who spend a significant amount of time on the road, have you heard of any truly bonkers stories from towns you visited? Take care, your pal, Maddie. And if you're watching or listening, we'll post a link where you can read more about this legend. Or you can probably just Google it. I think I can't imagine there's other stories.
Also, leave it at that.
You could leave it at that. If you want to know more, there's more info out there. But
my God! Obviously, I hate that they killed an animal. You know me. Right.
But Andy loves it because I also know him.
But also,
just a shrug.
I mean, who's to say that he wasn't a spy?
Thank you.
Really?
Okay.
I was gonna go
because they have those beluga whales that are spies.
Yes.
Have you seen
dolphins?
Those?
Like yes. Day of the Dolphin. Movie.
Yes.
A documentary.
In World War II, you know, the Americans were going to use bats to firebomb Hiroshima.
Were they really?
Yes. So they had these honeycombs built, and the bats had small incendiary devices on their ankles.
How much could they
And they would be? They would drop them, like parachute them over. The plan was to drop them over like Hiroshima, and then the bats would all go into crevices in the buildings, right. And it was a timed
Listen
delay.
To this.
And then it would the incendiary device went, and they were going to burn the whole city to the ground.
But how many bats and how much
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds
device
of
could a bat?
It's like a magnesium burn. Like once it goes off for 2 seconds, you'll start burning. Oh, like a wooden
house. I let hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bats, and somebody goes, so 300?
Well, I think it might have been 200 per comb.
It sounds like it might have just been like 300.
I'll tell you what,
it is only
now, having heard you say that, that I realize the Rochelle Township High School has not failed its students.
Okay.
Daniel never drops a detail so specific as a bat spy story.
They scrapped it with the atomic bomb. It got they were like, nope, never mind then.
And then someone goes, because what if we fill the atomic bomb with bats? And like, no. We're off bats.
Stop,
bats are
stop,
out.
Stop. Stop.
Just because you pitched
the bat guy,
just
the bat guy is like, hey, man, I'm still getting paid for these bats.
Look, I think we get the bat. No.
Right.
Return the bats to wherever you got them. We're not giving you any more money.
They hadn't come up with the phrase goth yet, but that's what he was.
Right.
Yeah, he started
a weapon scientist who just like, why do you wear black lipstick?
Here's my other thing.
I like it.
I'm going to jump around.
All right, you jump around.
Tell everybody you're from fucking Hartlepool. Stop with the Newcastle stuff.
Yeah.
When people ask me, where are you from? Now, I have people from my hometown, an hour and a half outside of Chicago, who say, when they're like, if they were traveling here, where are you guys from? They're like, oh, near Chicago. BS. I tell everybody, where are you from? Small farm town in Northern Illinois. It's called Rochelle. The more you do that, the more you put it on the map. Don't be saying Newcastle. Newcastle's got all its cred. You just keep telling people you're from Hartlepool. Now, don't tell them about your town because it's quite embarrassing to say where you're from.
That might be why you say Newcastle.
No. Nobody knows, right?
Yeah.
But represent. When you say Greenville, it is Greenville, right?
Yeah,
or unless
Greenville.
This has all been a lie. I would be so hurt.
There is a Greenville in every state. There's a Greenville and a Hollywood
in
every state.
Yeah, I think there's
one
in Indiana.
State.
I think there's a Greenville, Indiana.
But yeah, Greenville, South Carolina.
I say Greenville,
you're
South Carolina.
You're not like from outside. It's like people from...
I say Greenville.
They say St. Louis and they're from Edwardsville.
Right, yeah.
Where do Andy?
I usually say... outside of Chicago.
You say North America.
I say, yeah. Northern Hemisphere?
What are you, Arlington Heights?
I'm not one of those Southern Hemisphere fuckers.
What are you, Palatine?
I'm from Yorkville.
Oh, you're from Yorkville?
Yeah, a little town called Yorkville. And my further thing to say about that is that me and Dennis Hastert are the most notable
mine is
citizens of
mine's Joan Allen.
Rochelle. Oh, the actress?
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's a Joan Allen, and then a guy named Tim Clue, and then an old football player, and then eventually you'll get down to me. But I'm trying. Who's a Greenville?
York Peppermint Patties? Is that
No, that's not a person. Frango Mints, baby.
Okay.
What is your who's your most notable Greenville?
There's a few. There's two that come to mind, Roy Scholl. Shoeless Joe Jackson from Greenville, South Carolina. So that's going to be the biggest it will ever be.
Right.
Edwin McCain.
The singer?
The singer.
With the long blonde hair, right?
Long blonde hair. Went to the same high school. Went to a private high school, Christ Church Episcopal School. And I'll never forget this. I think he was a pretty sort of a troubled student. I don't think he graduated for that. I think there were disciplinary issues with him.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that when he really made it like opening for Hootie and then like making his own name.
Yeah.
I think I was a sophomore in high school and Edwin McCain was like brought in by the faculty, like, and that guy's Edwin McCain. And I was like, you fucking motherfuckers. He didn't graduate from here. You're right. Claiming someone that you probably expelled from this fucking
winning
school.
Winning cures everything, man. Winning
cures everything. And I hate that I always say it this way, but Paul Newman's wife,
Joanne Woodward,
I went to two high schools. She went to the other high school. The theater there is named after her, Joanne Woodward Theater or Auditorium. And she was also from Greenville, South Carolina. So those are the three that come to mind. I think there's probably more.
There's an old story where Sinatra meets, Joe Pantoliano.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Pants?
Yeah. And they're both from Hoboken.
Mm-hmm.
And after he leaves, like after meeting him, he goes, I'm from Hoboken. And he had like gotten some roles. And this is the early 80s. Maybe he got some success. And he left and Sinatra turned to the people next to him and goes, poor son of a bitch. No matter what he does, he'll never be the best person from Hoboken, New Jersey. It's also like, I'm sure Joey Pantoliano is aware.
Yeah.
And was there anyone in Frank's group who was a little bit of a jokester? And they go, right, because Tim Hoboken was obviously the most famous. And Frank then has that guy killed.
Yeah. So I have to tell, I'm sure you both know it. But can I tell another quick Sinatra story?
Of course.
Just now, the Don Rickles story.
Of course. That's the best one
of all time. For all of our listeners, Don Rickles was on a date at a restaurant. Sinatra was at another table. He walks over, says, Frank, can you come over later and impress my date? Say that we're friends. Just say a little stop
you
by.
Come
say
to my table.
Yeah, you come to my table. Just say you wanted to come by. Say a little will go a long way for me. This woman ends up, I believe, being his wife eventually. And so Frank comes over, and as he approaches the table, he goes, Don, just want to say. He goes, Frank, can you please, we're eating here. And throws him away. Oh, it's the best. Yeah.
But you know Frank had to be like, not only is that hilarious, but I'm going to beat the shit out of him the next time I see him.
It's really a ballsy thing to do something like that to
it's
him.
It's so ballsy. Yeah.
Because he reportedly, he heard that Montgomery Clift was queer and sent some guys over to beat him up.
Shut up.
Frank Way to Sinatra, go, Frank. No, good that job, makes me Frank.
Montgomery Clift.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
No, that's the problem with... any of your old white heroes. It's like, you know, for every good thing, there's like three. Oh, yeah, he put a cigar out in a busboy's eye.
What about John Wayne? He's my favorite.
Oh, he's fantastic.
You're fine.
No problem
I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
To even think so.
What about most Monsignors? I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Do any of your towns have any legends?
Nothing comes to mind about some kind of a specific legend other than, and that's why I brought up the Shoeless Joe Jackson. I know we're talking about different types of legends in terms of like stories, but I was just like, you know, I think anything that had happened to him with the whole White Sox scandal, I wouldn't be surprised if Greenville's like, that's our scandal. We would like to have
that's
that.
That's all right.
We have a scary one. John Wayne Gacy helped build like the little strip mall in town. Maymart, Rochelle Commons. And so they had to do like, whatever those sensory things are that like see through the ground,
to find out if he had put corpses underneath.
So that was scary.
God,
but obviously being the Rochelle Hubs, that kind of always like has to come along with like an explanation.
And also, you should mention John Wayne Gacy was the mascot at the high school for several years, like Gacy.
Yeah.
Go Gacy! Dig deep.
We did change.
What's your idea
the
of politics if you're like, yeah, look at that crazy monkey runs around throwing bananas at people, and that's for the halftime show. That's also the mayor. That's our mayor, and that's why things are great
here.
That's
a good town.
See, and that's why people who are against zoos, they didn't know because they didn't. They'd never been to a zoo and seen like, okay, that's a monkey.
Right. Yeah. This is right. Well, yeah.
Was it a monkey or a zoo? Because how could they think
this was a monkey?
This is an ape dressed in military uniform.
Because how could they think that that? I mean, monkeys don't get much bigger than that. How do you? But think here's that's my a question: man?
Do you not know that it's clearly an animal? Like, does it not occur to you like this is an animal?
It sounds phony to me.
When they ask him questions,
this guy's full of shit.
Maddie, you go hard. Sorry, Maddie.
Hey, no, we've been tricked before. So
we've been tricked before. I think this is real. This guy has a footnotes. He's using footnotes at the end of his
thing. I'm going to say right now that when I get out of here, I'm going to Google it.
Works cited page on this letter.
He does.
It just seems so insane to me that people, I mean, I don't know, early 1800s, you know, what is your perspective of anything at that point where you're like, yeah, I don't know. What is that? Because if you had to pick an animal, obviously evolutionarily it's right there. But if you had to pick an animal, you go, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of a dude. It's like, an ape is just kind of like walking around and like responding and looking.
Has to
communicate.
Do with the fact that it was also in uniform, like really threw them off.
Yeah.
But asking it questions, like you're doing a kangaroo court, like no animal pun intended. But
right.
Like, you have to know, like we're not going to let the French get one over on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's so wild.
Yeah.
Also, the one thing I don't believe about the story is ape or monkey shows up. It's obviously an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the way it existed. And it's in a little outfit, and you choose to hang it rather than hug it. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, you think it's handy
for safety.
It swims up on the beach, and I would just, look.
That's because you're too lovable.
I'm with you, Andy. I don't want to get sad, which I can easily do about animals. But you think about the like the trajectory of this story for that monkey, right? It ends up there. Maybe let's at least say they were nice and treated it right on the shipwreck or the ship. But then it survives a shipwreck. Then these people like bring it in, and then they fucking put it on trial. And they, like you're like, what is
this? Is early 1800s in a small town? How many animals do you think they've seen?
A lot.
They know,
but like how
but
many?
They know monks.
Birds and dogs.
Books.
Birds
look,
and dogs.
We're not smart, Rory. Andy, I can't speak for you.
Oh, right. I'm very smart.
I will. Andy is just as dumb as we are.
1800s.
Either could be true.
Early 1800s. We're just right after 1799.
Right. So you think they had to know what a fucking monkey was?
You think so? They're a small town in nowhere.
I think so.
And you think they know what an ape is? They've seen that.
They were aware enough to know they were at war with the French.
Yeah, 1776.
Are they participating in that?
I don't know.
Who, the Hartlepools?
I just love that the French were like, look, put something on the ship. Make the guys feel good. What do you think we get?
Give them a monkey.
Give them a monkey in a uniform. You know why? It makes me laugh every time. If I'm going to war and I gotta go fight and I'm probably gonna die,
right?
It kind of makes me giggle a little bit. So monkey in a uniform, hey, he's gonna go fight too.
He's dressed up in military garb. It kind of points out the futility of war. Yeah,
guys, I know our general was killed yesterday, and we're just a lost unit, and we don't even know where to go. But
right.
I'd like you guys to see Bonzo over here and see if the fact that he's wearing human clothes doesn't cheer you up a little bit.
Careful. He will fling his own shit
at you. He doesn't do anything in terms of entertainment, but isn't it funny he's wearing human clothes? Nah, anyways, everybody grab your guns. Do they have guns?
What were the guns like
in 1800?
Yeah, flintlocks.
But what kind of gun?
Flintlocks.
What does that mean?
You know, flintlock rifles.
Look, I didn't grow up like you guys with your 1776
is muskets,
rifles.
It's probably the same ones you guys
use. Is that a musket?
Hunt varmints.
Is that a musket? I have muskets at my house.
You do not.
Can you imagine having a musket?
Yeah, for the kids.
I have my daughter got her musket this year. She's finally ready.
It's good.
What kind of case do you keep a musket in for safety?
You don't have to.
If a guy breaks into your house and you present a musket, is that guy like, all right, look. Look, let's talk. I'll get out of here.
Well, you got one
shot. Hold on.
But I mean, is he like so impressed by a musket?
No.
Why do you think that's real? Why would I think the guy would be impressed by a musket?
Oh.
Now you pull it out and you go, well, if I have this gun, could you imagine what else I have? That's older than this.
I have a blunderbuss upstairs.
That's a good pull.
I didn't know Andy knew guns so well.
A blunderbuss? Yeah, man.
Love them.
Strange that it's the mascot really and they embrace it. I agree here with Maddie. Like, you think there'd be some embarrassment. Like, let's try to bury this legend.
Yeah.
They don't. They embrace it.
Agreed.
They love it.
Digging their heels.
Also, the football team. You think he means soccer?
He means soccer.
Thank you.
I didn't think that.
Yeah, it means soccer.
Yeah, you're right. No. I swear to God, I didn't think that. That didn't even occur to me.
I'm surprised that they still get to use that. Like, that somebody with a heart, you know, that represents animal interests wouldn't have put an end to that.
Stop glorifying us killing an animal that was probably already living a horrible life.
And I actually just looked it up recently because I wanted to jog my memory to make sure that it really happened. But there was a town in Illinois called Pekin, Illinois, P-E-K-I-N.
Yes.
And their name, like until the late 70s, their team name was the racist slur that rhymes with stinks.
Yeah.
No way.
For Asian people. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was, they were the Pekin.
Yeah. And until the late 70s.
And when they changed the name.
They
changed it to like the dragons.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they had to sort of like appease the racists. All right, we'll still make it Chinese.
Yeah, it'll
for
have
you.
The motif.
But people were really pissed. I read a local article. It's kind of down by St. Louis, I think.
It's always crazy to me, no matter how wrong it is, there is still a moron who will go, but it's always been that way.
I know, and you're like,
but we need to get the asbestos out of your
house. Right.
But I've always had
And you're like, everything always was something.
Right.
Right.
Well, and usually implicit in that is like, it was always this way, and it did not hurt me in the slightest.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I know it was hurtful for other people, but
we're fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. Well, Pekin.
Well, Maddie, the vote's out.
None of us believe you.
I do believe you. Two people don't believe
you. Oh, I believe you. I believe you. But I believe that he's been told this. But it just seems crazy to me that a town full. Well, maybe they were just. Maybe it's a really stupid town.
That's what I mean. They're in the middle of nowhere.
Could be.
You think they've seen a giraffe?
They live on the ocean. It's obviously sort of like a port. There's comings and goings.
Yeah.
But do you think some sort of.
You got to think there's also, you're going out to a ship that is sunk and you're expecting the battle. Like, who are these people? And then there's one living monkey.
And also,
what the fuck is this?
If we're to believe pirate movies, there's lots of monkeys on lots of ships in those days.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If we're to believe them.
It'd be like if they said like, oh, and they found a parrot and the parrot was, it talked.
Yeah.
So it was, spoke French.
Yeah.
So they roasted it.
More likely to be a spy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Maddie, thank you so much for this letter.
Thank you for getting the
order right at the top. That means the world to me.
Come on.
Thanks, Andy, for giving us a little bit of education and putting Hartlepool on the map. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
Andy Richter.
Dear Pennies and Pallers and anybody else who just showed up here, hi, I'm Daniel Van Kirk. I know I'm doing an ad, but it's for a good reason. So don't jump ahead, because then you do that thing where you jump back and then you went too far and maybe you've jumped back into this moment and I'm still talking. So just hold on, or thank you for staying with me. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm back on tour. The Together Again tour is heading to the Northeast on April 5th. I'm going to be in Albany, and then the next night on the 6th, I'm in Worcester, which I hope I just said correctly, in Massachusetts, and then on the 7th, I'm in Boston, and then the 8th and the 9th, Friday and Saturday night, I'm going to be in Philadelphia, and then on the 10th, I'm in New York City. So go to danielvankirk.com to get tickets and to hang out with me, Pennies and Pallers. I got handed a whole bunch of letters when I just did my Pacific Northwest run. I hope I get letters from you guys at this one, too. It's at danielvankirk.com, and maybe Rory and I haven't even said this yet. Maybe I'm breaking it here in the ad, so you're even more cooler for listening. I'm doing the Come and Take It Comedy Festival. I'm doing headlining sets. I'm doing my own show. And Rory and I are doing a live Pen Pals at the Come and Take It Comedy Festival in Houston, Texas. Right now, you can get discounted tickets, buy them before they get higher in price, which they're going to do when you find out everybody else who's going to be there. Go to thesecretgrouphtx.com. And come and see me and Rory. It's a live Pen Pals in Houston, where it all began with tuxes all those years ago. So come out, do that. It's the Come and Take It Comedy Festival. That is May 19th, 20th, and 21st. And then at the beginning of April, I'm going to be in the Northeast. Go to danielvankirk.com for all that stuff. Sincerely, I wish you well, and I hope I see you. Bye.
And we're back.
Back. I, as you guys know, if you're a fan of this show and you listen frequently, you know that this is the part where we do the old plugsy poos.
Sure.
I think if I have anything coming up, it's Spots in Town, and Instagram's probably the best way to see it. Physical season 2 probably drops in June, so watch season 1 on Apple TV Plus now, and that's kind of, I think that's about it for me, other than listening to this show.
Because we talked about it this weekend, these sets will all be improvised, so.
I'm starting to do some improvised sets, and I have one. By the time this comes out, I have already done it.
You don't want to write material.
I can't.
Right.
I never learned how to write.
Just to let the people know that there was really no prep.
Yeah.
So when they come out, just don't expect there to be prep.
That's why when someone's like, so what should we charge? I'm like, ooh, you got to go low with that price.
You mean how much should we give them?
I can't have people sitting there going, what did we pay for this bullshit make-em-ups? This is a make-em-up and I paid for this? This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh,
he's crying. He cried half the show.
If I'd wanted that, I would have gone to the UCB.
That's how he starts. He walks out and goes, can I get a one-word audience? Something in the house cannot be couch.
Guys, every minute, can I get a different suggestion to have something to say?
Can I get a joke? Can I get any jokes?
How anybody? About you guys write them and I'll say them?
Yeah.
That's a show.
That would be good. You're so good at saying them. Yeah.
What else, Roar? Oh, hey, I just wrapped up my first run of the Together Again tour in the Pacific Northwest. And then coming up, in the beginning of April, I will be in the East Coast. So look for those dates if they haven't dropped already. Everything's at danielvankirk.com. And then I'll be at Moon Tower doing a live Dumb People Town, a brand new show with Ryan Sickler and stand-up comedy and a whole bunch of other good stuff.
That's a fun show. I did that show ages ago.
Yeah. It is a good.
It was
thank
fun
you,
show.
Buddy.
Yeah.
What about you, Andy?
I have a podcast called The Three Questions that you've been on.
That's right.
Yes. You've been on. I'd have
refuses to come
well,
up.
It's just, it's for people to talk about their interior life. So I don't know if that's really something you do.
It's fine. It's why I say no every time.
No.
It's why every week I say no. You're asking every week.
It's just an interview podcast that's kind of about, it's a little bit mental healthy, but also just kind of like, as John Gabris called it, origin story. Which is like, I'm not making super villains, but I guess, okay. Like where you came from.
Sure.
Introspective.
It's great. I enjoyed it.
And
it
I hope I may still be on. By the I have a contract coming up, so I have to decide whether I want to keep doing it or not. Or just, again, like our, well, I don't know what, I have to decide whether I want to keep doing it or just keep
staring at a wall. Questions.
Just stare at a wall. Yeah, we're two questions.
Three is actually a little too many questions, I think.
Two questions. Where did you first hear about me?
Yeah.
And
what do you think of me?
Yeah, what do you think of me?
If anybody wants to write us, we don't do this often enough. It's thepenpalspod@gmail.com or snail mail us, which our next letter is.
Yep. And it's at courtesy of the Pen Pals podcast. Andy, go ahead and say it.
5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, number 121, Los Angeles, California, 90027.
And it's not on the wall. Andy just has to look left to remember things.
That's like to put your name in to try to get tickets to like The Price is Right or something.
Right.
And if you'd like to be in the audience at The Price is Right.
Right.
All
and you should let people know, too, that's that address, you're not at that address. So if
that's a P.O. box.
Murderous maniacs, do not go to that address.
But then they have to find out the hard way, and it's like, you know what? Good. You went out of your way, and it failed.
Yeah,
if you were going to murder us, you got to earn it.
Don't kill any randos when you show up there and you don't find these two.
Yeah.
We have snail mail.
Or do and get it out of your system.
No, leave us.
Okay, don't. Yeah, okay, don't kill anybody.
How great is this?
Look at
this snail mail, right?
And then here's what I love.
Outside the envelope.
A little extra.
Attention USPS. Thank you so much for delivering my letter. If you have not already, I highly recommend you check out the Pen Pals podcast with Daniel and Rory.
Oh my God.
Hashtag Daniel Van Ucaniel. Hashtag RRGT. Rip, roaring good time. Mm. Hashtag F2F. Face to face. Hashtag grow the show. Isn't that nice?
I love
it.
That is nice. That is nice. Okay.
That's nice.
And correct order. All right. Here we go.
Do that one more time.
Is this your card?
Mm.
Is this your letter?
Is this your letter?
No, I didn't bring a letter.
Is this your Dear Daniel letter? I no longer love you.
Oh, I've gotten those. Dear Pen Pals, I am a huge, though relatively new, fan of the show who is working diligently to graduate from Penny to Paler. We all are. I still have a lot of ground to cover, but so far each episode has been an RRGG.
GT.
I am writing you today to ask your advice on something I struggle with often. Self-motivation and sticking with a daily routine. At 32, I know that exercising before work, eating balanced meals, keeping the house tidy, and going to bed at a consistent time makes me feel better physically and mentally, yet every week I find myself struggling to stay on track. While this has been a challenge on and off throughout my life, it has certainly gotten harder during the pandemic. As someone who lives alone, it already takes a little extra effort to avoid snoozing the alarm for an hour, refrain from living off cherry pie for breakfast, we're going to come back to that, lunch and dinner, and clean the dishes as soon as I'm done with them. Once full-time telework was added on top of this, it got harder and harder to keep myself motivated to not only take care of myself, but also stay productive from 9 to 5. Is self-motivation something you guys also struggle with? Do you have any tips for how to stick to a daily routine? Thanks in advance, your pen pal, signed, your pen pal, Laura. P.S. No, I'm not yelling at you. I am just an architect who was taught to write in all caps.
I love it. It's
gorgeous.
Beautiful
font.
It is
gorgeous.
Do either of you guys write cursive?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
No. I don't either. I learned cursive.
Yeah.
I had a weird thing where I switched schools between second and third grade, and they taught us cursive in second grade. And then in third grade, when I started the new school, they hadn't taught cursive yet. So I was writing cursive, and a teacher said, "Don't write cursive. Go back to writing block letters." Oh, and I did, and it somehow fucked me up, and I got stuck, you know, and I have terrible handwriting. But nobody writes cursive anymore.
No one.
Yeah.
No.
Except for you.
Yeah. It's kind of like a hierarchy. I'll go like in and out.
Yeah.
But I do anyway, like
I don't know that I could.
We can go anywhere.
I really? Sometimes try.
I don't know that I could at this point.
Do you remember sometimes try. It's bad. It's just.
Yeah.
Do you remember how to
the
do
the only cursive I do that's even you consider cursive is like signing my name.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah. But it's all so fast and it's like. I don't. I think if I tried now, if you said you have to
X.
write,
yeah, he's like, yeah, it's just an infinity. Oh,
that's
just
not,
an infinity symbol.
Rory, that's not really cursive.
Yeah.
But I think if I had to write cursive now, it would definitely look like a second grader was doing it, having just learned cursive. I would have to go so slow and be so proper about it.
Page would be soaked in sweat
and tears and blood. I'm bleeding somehow.
Like, do you think you could still do a cursive F, or do you know how to do a cursive Z? Remember the little?
I do remember the Z. I do remember the Z because it was like
Had so, the little,
backwards J almost.
Yeah. A cursive J is so fun to write.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a slip and slide.
The D
really.
Was great too because you'd come down, loop the bottom,
don't
and
get
come
me started
back up
on
and
a D.
Loop the top.
More calligraphy than it is cursive. Really,
my Aunt Mildred would do calligraphy.
Mildred,
yeah,
that name doesn't seem like someone who would do calligraphy.
It doesn't.
That's one of those ones too. That's a name too that like imagine a baby named Mildred. Like, which hey, look at your baby. What's your baby? It's Mildred.
But when you do look, it is sort of like
Mildred.
An older woman's
her name's
face.
Mildred.
Hello. You're like, Jesus Christ.
I am your daughter.
Yeah.
Did you get enough to eat? Why are you asking me that? I'm already a grandmother.
Where did you buy that walker? It's so tiny.
But she's like, there's a draft in here. There's a quick turn, though. You just say, well, we're going to call her Millie. And then everybody's on board.
That's fun.
Yeah. Right?
Silly Millie, right?
Yeah. Silly Millie.
With her handwriting. Then we go, your handwriting's so silly. Silly Millie.
All right, you friends. How are you
back
doing?
Back to the letter.
How do you do with self-motivation and sticking with a daily
are
routine?
Are you good?
Okay. If we're talking like a daily routine of something that involves health, like saying, all right, you know what? I'm going to be healthier, so I'm going to stick to this kind of diet, this food regimen, this. I am so bad at it.
Really?
So if it's like, you know what? Hey, why don't you avoid booze for a little bit? Maybe avoid sugar for a little bit. I don't. Like,
you're good
I don't
spurts.
Drink enough
you go
where anyone.
Yeah.
I go in spurts. I don't drink enough where anyone would ever go. You know who has a drinking problem is Roar. There isn't one person in my life that would ever even think that. I don't have a drinking problem. But if I go, you know what? I'm going to lay off drinks for a week. Just laying off the minimal amount of drinking I do is like hard to do because I like coming home and going, yeah, I'm going to have one cocktail and kind of relax.
Yeah.
But even then I'm like, yeah, but even just one, you know, small thing of whiskey, I might be up at 2 a.m. because I'm, you know, in my 40s now and I just can't, you know, break it down the way I used to. So, yeah, I think when it comes to stuff like that of going, hey, when you wake up, how about you don't have an egg and cheese sandwich? Maybe you have a bowl of fruit or some yogurt or something. Healthy.
Sure.
I'm not great at sticking to that type of thing. Now, as far as like self-motivation in a bigger term, bigger, broader
because sometimes she has a hard time even getting out of bed.
Yes. I don't think I'm so much like that. I think in the morning I'm pretty driven to like get up and make something of the day in some way, like try to knock stuff off of a to-do list in some kind of way. So I'm motivated to do that, but yeah, it depends on specifically what we're talking about in self-motivation. What about you guys?
It's a gigantic lifelong struggle is this shit, you know, because there are, I'm motivated in many areas of my wife, my life to better myself and to like, you know, like, especially like mental health things.
Sure,
I've been to therapy for a million years and I really do want to like just have an upward arc of kind of mental health and sort of good
doing
attitude
better.
About living. Yeah. Because I mean, I don't know how you guys, but like, I look at my predecessors, you know, genetically speaking, and it's kind of like, oh, look, they're all so hopeful. And then like,
is it always around a certain age?
Yeah. It's just like the crust hardens and the good parts, the hopeful, like expansive parts of them that you used to think, like, I remember when they said that great thing that was so open-minded and generous, and then it just turns to like, I'm scared and in pain, and all of my fears have been realized.
Yeah.
And this will never get better. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about it, and this is how it always goes for me.
And I'm like, so scared of... I mean, not scared, but I mean, I really don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah,
I want to die more open than I am right now.
Sure,
you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure.
I want to be more bigger minded and bigger hearted. And so it's in those senses I can do that. But like all of the things of, you know, like the sort of, you know, lose weight, exercise more, lay off the fucking weed, fatty, all of those things. And the key to is talk good to yourself. Talk nicely to yourself.
Yeah.
Say, lay off the weed, fatty, but say it lovely in like a loving kind of way. Like, come on, fatty. Yeah, you know that weed is just going to make you fatter.
Yeah.
No, but I just, all those things, I feel like my entire life, my willpower is totally cyclical, where there will be times like...
It's clicking.
Quitting doing something. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. And then a month and a half later, you know, I just have fucking barbecue sauce all over my whole face.
Same.
You know?
Same thing.
And my poor children, not so much my daughter, but my son's older, and he kind of has the same sort of issues with procrastination and just getting shit done. And and basically it all boils down to like doing things you don't want to do, but that you must do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can counsel him from a first person experience about it so much, because so much of what he's going through in terms of getting his schoolwork done and then just like not feeling he's 21, his place in the world, not knowing that kind, you know, just kind of that existential what the hell ism.
Right.
I have been there so hard, and all I can tell him is like, just got to do it.
Yeah.
Like all that work, like it's kind of like, how do you cope and how did you learn to? And it's like, you just got to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You just like, if you're in bed, you got to get out. Like what was her name?
Laura. I believe.
Laura. Yeah. Laura, you just got to get out of bed. There's no.
Yeah.
It just, and the thing is that you just have to, I just think, what's going to end up making you feel better? I'm 55 years old and I'm just feel like I'm kind of about to crest the hill on it. You know what I mean? Like it's still a huge struggle. I still mess up more than I succeed, but it's like, it just takes that long of being in human form to deal with all the fucking shit you have to do to maintain a somewhat productive, fulfilling life.
I think there's that misconception of the like staying motivated and doing these things. I think a lot of people, and this is my problem too, is that you think, oh, if I just do these things and I can just get to this place, And then when you realize, oh, there isn't a place, it's getting into a pattern and staying in that pattern. Yeah. And there never really is this place you're going to. You're just in the pattern, and either you like the pattern or you don't. And you go, I feel better by the pattern, or you don't feel better by it. I have the issue of going, well, if I just do these things, then by August, I'll be this person. Yeah, as yeah. opposed to realizing it's the old, like, you know, the destination is the journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that
the
some people
is the destination.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, yeah. and I think people sometimes get caught up on the fact that, because to me, my instinct of what I just said is, well, fuck, that sounds like a lot of fucking work. So yeah, never yeah. mind. Right. As opposed to, yeah, quit trying to have this goal and just have this, like, even just one thing. I even try to, sometimes I'll try to change, like, just one thing to have, like, a good habit or change a yeah. habit or get rid of mm-hmm. a thing that I do. But it's all, it's like you said. I mean, I procrastinate with so many fucking things. Like, if I have to make a phone call.
Yeah.
I don't like phone calls
yeah.
at all. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't like talking on the phone. I have to, like, know a person to, if it's someone I don't really know and they're calling me, there's no chance. I mean, I'm like, text me or email me. I can't even right. deal with it. And yeah. there isn't even a thing. Somebody could be calling and go, you won $10,000. I can't even handle calling them back.
It's so weird. That I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic, no. but that phenomenon is so weird, because, like, just the other day I called somebody and I was, because I was going to write a text that was kind of like too many words and I didn't want to type it, so yeah, I was yeah. like, I'll just call her. And I felt like, oh, what if she's busy? I'm like, we used to do this all the time.
I know.
All the time.
Just pick up the phone and talk to them. And yeah. if they weren't home or they didn't pick up. Or
yeah, we did it all the time when they didn't know who was calling.
Yeah.
Now they could
ring,
look
ring,
and go,
hello.
Yeah, you right. get to decide. Yeah. Before, you had no idea the phone number.
I know.
Yeah, but it was just like a ring. What a gamble. Yeah. What a gamble it was back then.
And I said this the other, I was like, getting into the shower and my phone was ringing, and I was like, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's spam or, you know, something. And I got into the shower and I was like, how sad is that? That when my phone rings 9 times out of 10, it's not a friend or loved one.
Right.
It's spam. Right. So it just means how few calls I'm getting from people.
To be
that
fair,
care.
That spam could turn into friendships. You don't
you know.
Know
what? I really don't.
Nigerian
look that
friends.
Way. Yeah, yeah. Well, getting back to this, because I really do.
Yeah.
Because I made a joke about it, but very seriously. A big step in terms of, like, my dealing with this in a better way, and it has been very helpful, and I joked about it, but you gotta talk nicely.
You're
100% to yourself.
Right.
You
yeah,
gotta,
yeah, yeah.
You gotta, and I, because
I
started-
Give yourself grace and give yourself affirmation and be nice to you.
To me, I just thought of it as, like I look back on my work life, and
sure.
not so much showbiz life, but, like, my previous work life, working in production or in a grocery store in construction,
yeah.
and thinking, if the person that was asking me to do something was an asshole,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't give a Fuck shit them. About doing Same it. Way. I was lazy. I didn't do a good job about it. Whereas if that person that asked me to do it was kind and considerate, I'd fucking kill myself to get
right.
done whatever they needed to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why I try and do that with myself, like getting out of bed. Like, I know it's like, you won't feel good if you stay in bed.
Yes.
And you, and I'm a fan of you, Andy.
Yeah.
And as your fan, I would say, get out of bed.
Right.
You know, it'll make you feel better. And
yeah.
it really is. It is somewhat helpful. And I've tried to, that's, I try to tell my son that one thing. Cause that's kind of one of the few things that does kind of
help.
You
know what else too, though? If you condition yourself to being nice to you, you won't allow other people to
yeah,
not be
nice to
you. Yeah,
it's another good point. Yeah.
And you won't, if someone comes into your life who treats you shitty and you're nice to
yeah,
you,
yeah.
you'll go, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That is
right,
not
right,
how we treat
yeah,
me.
That, we don't
right.
talk to people.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
And that's really good. The two things for me is, one, and this has kind of been a big thing for me in my journey of mental health, emotional health, physical health, even just standard of living, like, you know, doing the dishes and stuff like that, is, one is, what is your why? Like, identify your why. So if you are a person who has a family of, like, heart disease, it runs in your family, and you say to yourself, I can't be that young of a person and have a heart attack or maybe diabetes or whatever it could be. And if you really, like, stay focused on that why,
yeah.
it'll help motivate you. The crazy thing is, and this is something I struggle with, it is so easy to lose focus or forget your why. Mm-hmm. To like be, and it'll go over like a couple of days, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm doing this for this reason. I need to get back on track here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with that, along with the words of affirmation, it feels very hokey to like put post-its all over your mirror. And I'm not saying do that. But what I would say is, if you do feel like on your nightstand or maybe something you see right when you get up, having something that reminds you of your why or tells you something good about yourself that you want to achieve. The other thing, and Rory's talked about this a lot when like through cooking and stuff like that, social media can be absolutely horrible. There are times when it can be wonderful and inspiring and make you realize there's people like you and people who go through your struggles. So try to fill, if you're a social media person, and if you're not, great job. If you are, try to fill your feed with things that affirm what you want for yourself or what you want for your life,
yeah.
But not in a way that's toxic where it's unachievable or it's fake and you're not going to look like that or you're not going to do those things, but just ways in which, you know, like if you want a nice home and you follow like home accounts on Instagram, maybe you'll be like, oh, I want my house to look like
or
that.
Or a lot of DIY, DIY accounts for any part of living, not just like home repair and stuff like that, but any DIY thing. It sometimes breaks it down to realize this thing you wanted to make or do or write or whatever. You see one DIY post and you're like, oh, that's not the crazy mountain I thought I'd have to climb.
Yeah, right.
I can just kind of do what they did.
And that's allowing like the internal is phenomenal. I think that's number one. But it allows the opportunity for external affirmation to come into your life for things like that. The biggest thing for me is accountability. The gym that I go to and
brag
that I'm more into the parking lot. I'm not actually in the gym, but I drive by it.
Oh, so you smoke cigarettes and drink Yoo-Hoos in the parking lot. That's right.
They have a lot
of bully the muscle heads.
Hey, what are you doing working out in there? They're like, dude, we could easily beat you up. You're so weak.
It's me, mortality. I'm coming for you.
Your knees are gonna hurt. Yeah. But it's accountability is a big thing. So for that too, is like if you have, and that doesn't have to be for working out. That can be in a lot of lives. I mean, you look at any person who's in like a 12-step program, it's all based on that accountability. Not based on, but it is a huge part of it. And the last thing for me is think about, and you kind of touched on this, Andy, is think about future you and reward future you.
Yeah.
So how is future you gonna feel when you went to the gym?
Yeah.
Or how is future you going to feel when the dishes are done and they're sitting and they're getting to like watch TV and look in that kitchen and be like, these are all done. And there was a thing I read once about setting goals. It was specifically to weight, but it was like, don't focus on the weight you need to lose. Focus on the way you'll feel when you're better. And you're almost... It's a positive rather than a negative. Well, I got to do all this crap. The positive is like, oh, when I go to that wedding and I put on the jacket and I don't have to like worry about it or whatever it is. And that doesn't, I'm not talking about, 9% body fat. I'm just talking about a happier, healthier you. And so, but the big broad stroke is thinking about the future you. How will the future you feel when you got up at 9 versus you got up at 11:30?
I think about, like I say, I'm 55 years old and been through.
Why do you keep bragging about being 55?
Because he made it, man.
When he first got here, before we even started recording, he goes, I'm 55. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
The first time we met a few years ago, he said, I'm going to be 55 someday. Yeah. I was like, okay.
It's because it annoys Sammy Hagar every time I say it. I have to think about life in terms of, and I don't like to, but it is like, you know, my kind of grown up working days are about half done now, you know, more.
Right.
So I do have to think of life in those terms. And I think forward, and I know, I look around and I think it's important, at least for myself, I try to, like my mind can conceive of the farthest, loftiest goal. Like I can think of like, well, the thing that would really be great is if you lost 80 pounds, went to the gym 5 days a week and started running. That is not gonna happen.
Sure.
But my mind can conceive of that.
Yeah, right.
But who I truly am, so the idea of like what I should be doing and if I were, God damn it, I should do this and, you know, work harder at that and make a schedule to do this, all of that stuff, I feel like if I get to the end of my life and I've made like 10 to 15% progress on that.
Why not?
I've done like way more than what is normally.
Yes.
You know, most people go through their whole lives with these list of things that they didn't do and this sort of to-do list of improvements that they just end up forgetting about. But it's like just a little, you know, like just a little bit.
And they also hold themselves to that.
Yeah.
When you go, you know, one day I'm gonna work out and do this stuff. And then when you don't do it because it's maybe not as realistic, not that it's not attainable, it's just maybe not realistic to who you are, then you go, and that's because I'm a dumb piece of shit who didn't fucking do this thing. And it's not, then you sort of lose twice because not only do you do it, but then you're going to be mean to yourself as like you're a failure. So I think going back to kind of what you're saying, to me, it is shifting perspective and how to break those patterns. And I think if your perspective is, you know, the way we always talk about the gym, where it's like, oh, the gym is tough and this is what's going on at the gym and people are doing this. Well, then that makes it harder for you to decide to go join one or even, you know, even visit one or even enter one. But if you change that perspective to minimize it to something where you go, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to this gym or this location, I'm just going to get on the treadmill and walk for 20 minutes at even a decent 10. Brisk pace. And you know what? I'm going to do that. And then after I do it, you know, I'm going to actually just kind of be there with my headphones on and just see what other people are doing and see if maybe there's one person doing something that I think, you know what, maybe next time I'll do the treadmill and then I'll just do what I think that person is doing with like the free weights. And I'll just maybe do 2 reps and then I'll call it a day. And then I think you just
been thrown out of so many gyms for staring at
people. Because you're not a member and you're staring at people and you can't go over to them.
Can I do what you do?
Yeah. Like, and you're not allowed to walk up and go, who are you?
What are you doing?
But to me, it's like, it's perspective. I think some people like eating healthy. It's perspective. And when you decide to go to bed is perspective. It's all, you know, well, it's maybe it's not fun to try to go to bed at 9 p.m. and stop looking at screens at 7 p.m. That doesn't necessarily sound fun. But if you change your perspective going, well, maybe it's 7 p.m., at least for me, what I've been doing is like I've gotten really into painting. And that was never something that I would be doing ever. But now when my daughter goes to bed, I am so excited to just have a canvas and just start painting, even if it's absolute fucking garbage. There's something so fun about it. And then I do it for like 2 hours. And then I realize, oh, this is good because I haven't been staring at my phone while thinking I'm watching a TV show for 2 hours and then going to bed. Instead, I've stimulated a different part of my brain and I kind of want to go inside, have a glass of water, and then maybe go to bed. And just that little thing of being interested in this other activity has probably caused me to sleep better, has probably caused me to think about stuff better. That's also 2 hours. If you're painting, that's technically like 2 hours of meditation. It's not like you're sitting there doing anything but talking to yourself about the thing that you're doing. Yeah. It's just like a healthy activity.
It's also an expression. Something to you is coming
but
out.
But I think in terms of perspective, I think people go, well, I don't do that because I'm actually not an artist and I don't make good stuff. It's like shift that perspective that you're even trying to make something and you're not a good artist. Look at it and go, everyone has the potential to be a good artist if they just like what they make. Yeah. And also, you don't have to like what you make, but dipping your brush in paint and going back and forth on a canvas, while from a distance you may look like a serial killer, is wildly therapeutic. Well, you're nude. It feels so good.
You're nude.
And you're naked. Yeah.
Yeah. And also for you, the best part of that painting is you're not talking to your wife. I'm going to call back to the
but
golf
thing.
But
she is standing from a distance watching me. Painting
you will
me.
Watch. We
she
will not communicate.
Naked.
You will watch. Just
portrait of a woman with her arms crossed. a call back to the golf thing. The guy that we played with that was a former NFL player, soon to be orthopedic surgeon.
Poor guy.
He said at one point, we were talking about golf or whatever, and he said, "Coach process, not results." And I thought I said to him, I said, "That's pretty fucking good."
Yeah,
like that's I forget sports. That's for everything,
right?
Yeah, coach process. So when you're talking to yourself, coach the process of the improvement, not necessarily what the thing is.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm gonna wrap this up. I'll say that you came back to like it when it's all said and done. If you can be like 5 to 10% of what you were,
yeah,
that ties into exactly where you started. Rather than hitting an age where you harden and go fuck it. right? Fuck it. I'm just going to retreat into this cave of darkness and despair and bad food or whatever. That even if you, even if the end, you're only two steps out of the cave rather than all the way across the mountain.
Yeah.
You are far better
than what you were.
Than any person who, and we've had people in those lives, we've seen people like that where they just kind of said, fuck it at some point. And you're like, man, that's sad.
And so, ultimately, all you got to do.
That 5% is amazing.
All you got to do is feel better. Like whatever you're doing, if it makes you feel better, you're winning.
Absolutely.
You know? So,
Sheryl Crow. If it makes you happy, it's pretty damn bad.
If it makes you happy.
We're going to get sued. Okay. Thanks so much. Hashtag Chasing78. This was wonderful. I think that we all touched on beautiful things from this, whether it's painting or being nice to yourself.
Yes. Or, good luck, Laura.
Motivating. Yeah. Accountability. All that stuff. Laura, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Van Scovel,
Andy Richter.
Pen Pals is produced by Lissa Rubin and engineered and mixed by Chad Bouchard. Our artwork was created by Jeffrey Tice, and our theme music is by Patrick Keenan of The Winter Sounds. Extra thank you to Aristotle Acevedo for his help on this episode.
You can follow Pen Pals on Twitter and Instagram at the Pen Pals Pod. You can see all of that content thanks to Caitlin Bordini, who runs our social media.
Head to youtube.com/Daniel Van Kirk Comedy to watch these episodes absolutely free, and subscribe to patreon.com/penpals for only $5. You can listen to a follow-up letter every week, and you'll be the first to hear all upcoming Pen Pals news.
But the easiest way to support the show is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And tell everyone you know about your two favorite cackling idiots. Hashtag grow the show.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.